Amen. Amen. Is that right, Danica? Amen. He was despised and he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were punishment from God and a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. And he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. And we have left God's plans to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Did you want to tell him? Yeah? Okay. God's always up. He raised Jesus up on a cross. And then he raised Jesus up from the dead. And all the time in between, he's up. And the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He lives in you. Because you have called upon his name, right? Because you have asked for forgiveness of your sins. Because the desire of your heart is to please him. And the desire of your heart was never to please him before Jesus came into your heart. If you want proof that he lives in you, if you desire to please God, then that's Holy Spirit living in you. And he's perfect all the time. He's always perfect. And he's perfectly willing to help us to see the places where we take a dump, as Vicki saw. And we've all had those things that stand out so much to us. And then a couple weeks later, God reminds us that we're still working on it. And to challenge us to consider, are we working on it? Are we working on it? So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit. To your mortal bodies. To my mortal body. My mortal body is alive now. It's not a someday thing. It's he'll give us life now. I've known that, but as you know with the Word of God, sometimes it gives you a new understanding when you read it. And suddenly it became very clear to me that he will give this life to my mortal body. Not someday, not well, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it'll be. It will be. We will be perfect then. But it's a screensaver in life that causes us to think that, well, we'll just get along until that day. But Jesus said he came so we could have life, and we could have it abundantly. And so we are renewed. We are refreshed. We are restored. We are invigorated, reinvigorated. Thank God he will do that for us. Thank God that he can stir us up like little children and show us the way. Praise the Lord. But we are no longer little children. And so we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We were We watched this week the Mario Murillo services in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and there were different things that really stood out to me. The first night I looked at the crowd, and the crowd was full of, there are not many wonderful people there. Just normal people. Normal people. There weren't, that I know of, anybody that came in limousines. They were just normal people. Many of the people were church people, and there were many other people that probably weren't church people. And the thing is the word will set church people free just as well as it will set other people free. That the Lord can speak to people's hearts. And He'll speak to us in our own language. He'll speak to us through a beautiful horse, the kind of horse that we just love. And He'll speak to us when we are reveling in the idea, that horse just ran right to me. That horse just knows horse people. That horse just wanted to be with me. And then the horse spoke. How dare that horse speak to me that way? Maybe we have an opportunity to go, John, did you see what that horse did? You're not supposed to talk to me that way. Now, these things are never said, but they might be thought of. But both John and Vicky knew who the horse was talking to. And John, being a noble man such as he is, as much as he may have liked to have taken that as a message to him, and of course it could be, overflow. The Word of God is true. It's true. And God is doing things. He is up to something. He's always been up to something. But it seems like we come to different times when more people are aware that He's up to something. Something opens the eyes of our understanding. God never sleeps. We know this, right? He never sleeps. And so He's always up. He's always up. He's always up above all things. He's always up to hear all things. He's always up to respond to all things. God is always up. And He's always up to lift us up. Never to put us down. He doesn't speak to us to cause us shame. He speaks to us because He's already taken the blame. He's already taken it. When I read these verses from Isaiah, and it says, well, he's speaking about them, but in a way, before we knew Jesus, we were just sort of like that with, I heard He was put on a cross. But I never heard that He was put on a cross for me. I never heard that He was punished for my sins. I understood, until I understood that, I understood that my sins caused a problem and that God saw my sins. But I never understood that God saw my sins as forgiven sins. Just trying to find a way for me to allow that forgiveness in to my heart. See, when we receive forgiveness, we receive life. Until we receive forgiveness, We probably know we need forgiveness, but we don't understand the price that was paid for that forgiveness. And we don't understand that the forgiveness existed before we did it. Before we did it, it was paid for. And it's knowing that it's paid for that creates a gratitude in our hearts and sets us free. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I am glad. And I am gladder now than I was before. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. God is good. And He's always up to something for you. When the Bible says that God is for us, it means He's for us. Not out to get us, He's for us. He's out to rescue us, and then He's out to use us to show others that He saved me. And He'll save you. At the nursing home yesterday, when I walked in, one of the ladies said to me, "Are we sending you to jail tomorrow?" I said, "Yes, you are. You are making it possible. You are coming on a Saturday so that I can go on a Sunday, and so you folks are sending the good news to those folks." And yesterday, we just focused on the name of Jesus. And we focused on the name of Jesus to encourage them and to help them to enter into Jesus when they think about Jesus. And you know, lights can come on no matter how old people are. And they can come to an understanding that when they think about Jesus, that they should think about the goodness of God. That when they sing the old songs that they sang, and I just asked him, I said, "When you sing these songs that you've known for so long, do you think about what you were singing?" Because I sang all those songs and I never thought about what I was singing because I didn't know what I was singing. And I could see the word going into their hearts. That you could go to church for 60 years and learn something. God made a way. He made a way. And so we know that He's for us, but do we know that He's for us? We know that He's on our side, but do we know that He's on our side? Is He on our side when everything isn't wonderful? Yeah. Why do not wonderful things happen? Because there's evil in the world. There is evil in the world. Not just bad things, there's evil. They're just flat out evil. But the fact that there's evil is not discouraging to us. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, because of the blood of Jesus, it has no power over us. Evil has no authority in our lives. Except that He steve us. And the devil has a multitude of screensavers. A multitude of them. And he throws them up in front of people all the time. You know. He throws them up in exotic beaches. You know. That flash across the screen. That's where life really is. Man, that grabs some people. It's like, oh, if I could just go there someday. But going there doesn't change anything. Does it? My wife has been able to travel with her daughters to some nice beaches, and she appreciates beaches, and, you know, she'll remember them, but they don't fulfill her life. If they do, pray for her. You know? I took her on the only trip that really mattered. I took her to England, and she said, I always wanted to go to England. So that took care of it. I also took care of it when we first got married. You don't have to bring Jamie home. I couldn't remember that we talked about it for sure. You don't have to bring her home, but it's all I ever wanted. So she started our marriage with the only thing she ever wanted. I think she started our marriage with a lie, because I don't think that was the only thing she ever wanted. But it was important. We all have things that are important to us. We all do. But none of that can compare to Jesus. And so at any time that something gets bigger than it's supposed to be, we just need to move it over next to Jesus. Bring it into perspective. What's more important? You know, it's really sad that Benny Johnson passed away. She had a multitude of people praying. A multitude of people believing. A multitude of people standing. And she still went to heaven. Does that change God? Does that change God? Does that somehow diminish the greatness of God? Does that somehow need, there'll be people that it will become the focus of their life. They got to have an answer to that. They got to know why. I tell them, let it go. You aren't going to like the answer no matter what it is. And I suggest you probably won't get the answer. If somebody gets the answer, it'll probably be your husband. But if he gets it, I don't know that he'll share it. I don't know. I don't know. And take me right when I say this, I don't care. Long time ago, when I did a funeral for Reed, God just gave me, I just told him, I said, you know something, I know there's a lot of you people here aren't going to want to hear about this, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you about God and tell you about Reed. And I'm going to tell you that we prayed for him. I'm going to tell you that he still died. And I'm going to tell you, if he would have gotten healed, how many of you would have been here to hear his testimony? Some people were mad that day at me, and they're still mad at me. But maybe someday they'll want to hear the truth. And when they want to hear the truth, that will be in there. Reminding them, never hesitate to speak the truth. Never hesitate to speak the truth. People need to hear the truth. Family members need to hear the truth. Strangers need to hear the truth. Friends need to hear the truth. Enemies need to hear the truth. And the only truth that is worth sharing with anybody is Jesus. People need to know the Lord. People need to know that He is real. People need to know that He is up and He's up for them. I pray God burns this into my heart so that at every turn and every opportunity and every experience, I won't miss doing that. I read something by somebody. But they talked about, I think they were just praying about the joy of their salvation, and it just hit them. There were a lot of people who weren't saved. And I am glad that the Lord saved me, but I can't let that overwrite the fact that other people still need it. And I can't ever decide that somebody's decided. Because everybody hasn't decided, because I hadn't decided. I hadn't decided not to have anything to do with God. I hadn't decided that. But I also hadn't decided to have anything to do with God. We don't know. We don't know. Sometimes it's good to take the time to consider, how did I come to know? What were the turning places? What were the little brushes in the right direction? What did it? Not to try to figure out who did it, because God did it, but just because it's good to understand, you weren't an automatic. Some things, God was busy working in your life. Because he loved you that much, and he loves everybody else that much too. Love your enemies. I'm just not fond of that when I really think about that. I understand what it says. But when the Lord highlights it, it's like, oh, I'm failing at this, Lord. I'm failing at it. I don't get up in the morning thinking of some way to bless my enemies. Personally, I don't think that I have any, but that's more than likely a big lie. But I do know that God is sufficient. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And he gives us those things, and we'll see them. You see, I saw that. I saw that early in my Christian walk. I saw that when your grandmother called me and told me, Vicki, she said, boy, it'd be a happy day when you're dead. And the Spirit of the Lord working in me said, I'm sorry, can I pray for you? That was one of those moments, those times when I looked, I said, man, he's dead. Roger is dead. And then there's other times when I wonder, how in the world can Roger come alive at this moment? How can he? And then there's those opportunities when, like you said, when you got all these things going through your head that you could say. And there are times when you just laugh at him because you would never think of saying that. And then there are times when you have to fight them. You have to fight them down, you know, because there's a 10 or 15 reasons why I should just go ahead and say it. And there's not even a, you know, it's like it takes a long time to get the thing. What in the world am I even thinking of something like that for? But the Spirit of God working in us gives us victory. And sometimes we walk out of that victory limping and sweating, but whew, I made it through. And sometimes we walk out of that defeated only to get our victory and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But oh, hallelujah, how wonderful it is that we say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, I mean, that's just so wonderful that no matter what, even in the midst of it, when we get to the end of it, we're going to say we're sorry, because we weren't ever going to be sorry before. But now with Christ, you see, we see him working in us, and it encourages us, and it builds us up, and it makes us strong, and it makes us pillars, and it makes us towers, and it makes us able to help other people. See, God is always up, and I believe that he says to us, you can be always up too. We can be always up. Always up to what God has planned. Always up to it. Always up to it. We need these things. We need this strength that our foundation is built upon, because we need to be prepared, because honestly, there are things in life that haven't been easy, have they? And we don't like to think that there are things coming in life that might even be less easy. But if we acknowledge that we have abundantly more than we could ever hope or imagine and strength to handle it, we can look forward to it. We can be like Stephen, and we're being stoned to death, and we can look up and see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We can be like Paul, who he said, yeah, they tell me every place I go, it's going to be awful. But thanks be to God, who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He has made a way when it seems there is no way. Let our focus turn to that. Just for a little daydream once in a while. Jesus, you know? Just for that little, ha. I tell the people at jail, you know, I said, look, when you're thinking all you need is a fix, think about Jesus. It's better than the fix. See, they come in and they experience the presence of God and they know the presence of God there, but they need to know the presence of God elsewhere. Had a man this week, and there he was, back again. And we had prayed that he would have favor to go to Teen Challenge, and he had gotten to go to Teen Challenge. It was just what he wanted, and then he came home for the 4th of July. And he's back to visit me. And I said, well, maybe, just maybe, you wanted Teen Challenge for a different reason than God did. And because you didn't have your focus on the Lord, then you were distracted. But I said, don't let that bother you. He's for you. He's for you. And every other pod after that had already heard the story. They already knew the story about him. They were already praying for him. They had learned a lesson from his story. So I would start to share with them, and they'd say, yep, we know about it. I said, well, then you know this, 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 and this. And God would give them things to add to what they knew about the story. You see, there's always something to increase your faith and increase your prowess in warfare. Everything else is just screensavers. Now, there's nothing wrong with screensavers. There's nothing wrong with enjoying and desiring. Nothing wrong with any of those things as long as none of those are where we stay, that we always open up Jesus. It's Jesus, because Jesus is the escape button that always works. Always works. Nothing can lock us up. This week I tried a plug-in keyboard with my computer because I kind of liked how it was, and I plugged it in, and for some reason, I don't know, the calculator button on it was stuck or something, and I just had 100 windows open on the calculator, and then when I would go to, then I got rid of those, and then I shut off the computer, just shut off the screen for the night, and I came in the morning, and it said, I would put in the wrong password, and the password was just gobbledygook going across. I'm going, oh my goodness, what have I got going here? But then I realized if I unplugged that keyboard, I didn't have all that junk coming. So there was something wrong with the keyboard. So I got rid of that, and then I got the computer open again, and now escape will work. Jesus is the ultimate escape button. We might get caught up in a screensaver, but the Spirit of God will be saying, hello! And we hit that escape, and we're out of it. You know? I was cutting down the tree back here, and before I cut down the tree back here, Vicki was telling, you know, maybe you should rest. She was big on this rest. I don't know what this rest was. Who needs to rest? You know? I get tired or faster, but I just want to keep going on things, you know. And then while I'm doing it, I have these other screensavers pop up, just stupid ones, you know, about things to say that I don't want to say and I'm not going to say. And that's just all there is to it. But I'm thinking, man, alive, maybe I do need to rest so these can't get up on the computer. I don't know. But I know that God is greater and that God is all the time teaching us. And that, you know, I mean, it's like he gives us one reminder and he gives us another reminder. And he doesn't belittle us for missing the first reminder. He just reminds us. And then we got time to think about it and be reminded, oh, man, yeah, yeah, yeah. God bless me this week. Bless me lots of times. But anyway, I'd lost a wedding ring back some time ago. Couldn't figure out where it was. I mean, it was loose, and I imagine I took off my glove. But so I'm getting the tree done, and I'm back in, and I close the door on the pickup, and I look, and there is that wedding ring just laying there. And I picked that up, and I was praising the Lord, and I just stuck that over my glove because I was going in to tell Vicki what I found. And I walked up to the door to tell Vicki what I found, and I looked and I realized I left my ladder leaning against the tractor. So I went out to get the ladder. And then I noticed I had some branches that I wanted to move and get out of the way for later when I wanted to get the trailer in there. So I moved those branches. And then I walked back to the house, and then my shoes were there, and they were all full of sawdust. And so I was banging out those shoes, getting those clean. And then I went to walk in the house, and I said, oh, Roger. Obviously, the ring was gone again. Vicki said, what? I didn't even answer. I just went out and tried to retrace my path, tried to decide which steps I took first. So on a couple of occasions, I've said to the Lord, Lord, I should have put it in my pocket and not on my glove. Lord, you already found it for me once, and I realize that I don't have any business asking for it again, but I'm asking for it again. But I had it. I had it. Why I didn't just put it in my pocket and I'd still have it, I don't know. I have no idea. And so I'm going to learn a lesson from it rather than going, well, you know what, I lost it before and I didn't figure I'd ever find it, so who cares? It's not that. It's the fact that I had it, and sometimes that's the way it is in a walk with God. Sometimes we've got it. Sometimes we are hitting on all cylinders and we're even in overdrive. I mean, everything. We're amazed at how big God is in our lives. And then we get distracted. And then we end up in a screensaver that says we're defeated, but the defeat is not true. We are more than conquerors. You see, and that's the thing, the world, we got, man, this world's got, we know people that are in a screensaver. We know people that they wouldn't recognize victory if it stared them in the face. But they don't know they're defeated because they're locked in a screensaver. And we just need to pray that the Lord will open the door to help them hit escape. We can't just hope that somebody else will. We can't just hope that they'll happen to happen on it. I mean, after all, we happened to happen on it, but we didn't happen to happen on it. God was happening around us. He was teaching us. I'm thankful for each one of you, and I'm thankful for the ones that aren't here. I'm thankful that we have had the opportunity to grow together in the Lord, that we love one another, that we are for one another, that we will encourage one another. I pray that we look for opportunities to do just that. But folks, we are so blessed to know Jesus. So blessed. to know Jesus. Blessed are you because it's been given to you to understand. And never forget that God is up, always up, working for us so that we can get understanding. We know where our understanding is. We know where our victory is. We know. We absolutely know. God is calling us up to show others where up is. Amen. Father, we're thankful to you. And we care. We do care. We're glad to be up. And we do care that there are folks who they're looking for up and they don't even know what up is, but we do. And so we will just continue to live Jesus, lift up Jesus, praise Jesus, pray to Jesus, receive from Jesus, and give all the glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.